Follow this trick.
I know how it's done, Monsieur Melies.
Memory is flashback. One of my creations, you know.
Your secrets, such as they are, could be found in any child's toy cupboard.
Never deceived myself. For this trick, I need a volunteer to hold the box.
Not me. Ask the white gloves. Ask the shine on your top hat. No one should be too rough with his own mask. That would be dangerous. What would happen if the mask decided to leave? To run away? You'd be left naked.
The box is empty. From the top. From the bottom. I close it. I open it. What have we here? Why, it's another world a magician has made out of thin air, light, and all that's flimsy.
My name is Smile. The pulse of Hey Presto is something I share with Monsieur Melies, being one side of him, as well as sharing the letters of his name. In 1902, he's making a wonderfully flash-forward film, Voyage to the Moon.
Got the idea from Jules Verne. Fly a shell packed with professors at the moon. Hit the man in the moon in the eye. On the way, the shell passes lovely girls, playing stars and comets relaxedly. Professors have adventures in cave system. Weird queen. Pursued by selenites, moon creatures. Professors escape by tipping shell off cliff. Falls to earth in twist of gravity's law. Aha! But there is a selenite clinging to it. Great public consternation. A stranger. An alien being. Ah! Terror!
Experiments with the improbable and impossible, Monsieur Moliers? Why make this film? Isn't life complicated enough for you?
In Jules Verne, the shell goes round the moon but can't land. Do you know why? He couldn't imagine what would happen if it did. He wasted the idea's potential.
Are you a greater artist than Jules Verne? Don't be modest. What I love about your moon rocket are the rivets. They're so real.
Guns of fantastic long range are being dreamt up. Flight is no longer fantasy. There are nights when, after a few glasses of champagne, one is able to reach out and shake hands with a moon inhabitant. I've done it myself.
Are you a prophet? A photographic prophet?
Prophets only express what most people feel or fear. So, who is not a prophet? He who cannot laugh, she who cannot tremble. Thank you, I must dine.
Off he goes, with a light step, a hint of an elegant swagger. Only a hint, mind you. For there is a fastidiousness within. Who will he share his evening with? Which of all the flesh pots of Paris, this famous city set aside in this time for the pleasures of the sensual gifted gentleman, will he descend upon?
Before your very eyes, a play about the early French filmmaker Georges Méliès by David Powell, with Henry Goodman and Julian Reinhardt. Roll up. Roll up. Marvels, dreams, and devils.
Has Monsieur Melies entered this establishment for the pleasure of playing tricks, or of having tricks played upon him?
What are the ways of being free, my poppet? Can you number them? Who can? Freedom is champagne. I think we can agree on that.
The girl is paid to please. Dancing at the Folie Bergère, or here having to listen to gross grocers, plastered painters, peculiar politicians. To protect herself from too much metaphysical debate, she asks our hero what he's been up to today.
I've been at the Place de l'Opera making moving pictures.
She's impressed. Even at this very early stage in the development of what will eventually become cinema, an attractive, intelligent woman responds instinctively to the idea of images seducing truth.
If you'd like to be in it, come along tomorrow. The camera will like it.
As he lounges beneath the chandeliers, charming this lucky lady, let's make a melismatic flashback to how he spent the important part of his time today. Monsieur Melies and his cameraman in the Place de l'Opéra. The sound we hear is not a machine gun, It's his homemade hammer. The traffic in 1892 is terrible, but optically interesting.
Keep it steady. Don't put too much pressure on the handle. A light hold is all you need.
Wish the ground was more even.
That's good, good. The clouds are staying away. So many interweaving shadows in traffic. It's like a pencil drawing.
Why have you stopped? Keep going!
It's jammed!
Monsieur Méliès works quickly. He ducks under the black cloth and opens the misbehaving monster. Skilled artist's fingers work swiftly in the complete darkness.
Fixed it. Get the film's free now. Start cranking again.
When the film is developed and viewed, a discovery is made. The break in shooting has caused an omnibus to become a hearse.
Miraculous.
Monsieur Méliès, tell us, did the camera really jam, or are you deceiving us?
Don't bother me now. Now visualize.
The saint in the desert, alone. His instincts at work, impossible to control. Into his imagination comes a beautiful girl. Oh, he asks for divine help to combat this terrible temptation. Poof! She vanishes.
So, we're in the mind of a saint. We are in the mind of a devil. In his filmmaking career, Monsieur Méliès will play the arch-tempter Satan 20 times. His favorite role. Let us get deeper into the life of this metamorphoser.
Right, your attention, please. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like repeating myself. Yeah, we're here to work. Okay, listen carefully. Here are the moves I'm going to be making in this scene. I have a shock. Run across, agitated. Stop, throw hands up, stagger, flip back. Flash of smoke. Turn, shudder, holding myself. Gallop over, slide to a halt. Cover my head, do a forward roll, leap up, run to the bed, jump on it, and bounce through the window. Everyone ready?
I should mention, sir, you were nearly in danger of going out of the picture during the last scene.
The dancers have arrived!
Okay, get him away outside, please, Jan.
We are in Montreuil, close to Paris. Monsieur Méliès is at work in the strange, huge greenhouse studio he's built in the garden of the family house. As he prepares to act in another of his films, ready to improvise and invent, we meet his mistress, Jeanne, as she shepherds the dancers, trying to keep them off the flower beds.
The prissies goggle through the glass. Everything's got warmer.
Right, start cranking the camera.
Oh, he's adorable. Oh, what an outfit. He must be very fit.
Oh, yes. Monsieur Méliès is always in good condition.
Finally, he throws himself expertly through the window and lands on a mattress, springing to his feet with an agility and skill any tumbler would be proud of. To these beauties, a day's work at the premises of this compulsive seducer is far more fun than hoofing it at ballet rehearsals. But back to the film. It has religious connotations.
They're all ready.
Now, which one is going to play the object of your desire?
Oh, I think the prettiest, miss.
Oh!
That's you, of course. I meant the second pretty.
I wouldn't know who appeals most. In your mind, do you have them in some kind of order?
John, they're going to be jealous. It doesn't make sense. I'm forever telling you that my heart is yours.
Oh, yes. Ask your wife to explain.
You're impossible.
Right, erect the cross.
God forgive us.
And who am I to Monsieur Méliès? I am the magician's smile upon his face, a mask he wears as he plays his tricks. In his films, I will fast become a mask within a mask. But I will remain. The picture moves, but is silent. He can say nothing, only mercurialize. Change after change, scoffing at reality. Alley-oop!
Is the cross secure?
Over the rock, sir.
Get up, then. You ever been to church?
Of course.
Right, then you know how to stand. Languidly. Quiet, girls, quiet.
You're all brought up properly. You know religion is a serious matter. Now, I am St. Anthony, a famous hermit in the desert. You are succubi.
Oh.
Yes. You tempt me.
Ghosts, he loves. The macabre he adores. St. Anthony is about to undergo a rather conventional torment.
Stop cranking the camera.
Come on. Offer yourselves. Float about like a dream in my mind. Poor old fellow without a woman for 50 years.
The saint, beside himself with desire, turns to the cross, appeals to Christ for help.
Right, stop the camera! Get down, Jesus! Mimi, you take his place on the cross.
Mimi, it's nothing. Look on it as a little joke. No one will blame you.
But what if my mother finds out? A woman on the cross. It feels wrong.
Don't you worry. Get up there now. Make something of yourself. And go to confession on Sunday.
All sorted out? Are we ready?
Yeah, she's all right now.
Okay. Ready, everybody.
They take a ride into the country, stopping off at a fairground outside a little country town.
Roll up! Roll up! Terror on horror! Horror on terror!
Good appetizing.
You get the tickets. I don't want him to know I'm here.
Not for the faint hearted! Not for those of nervous dispositions! Roll up!
Excuse me.
Back seats, is it? You can clutch each other in a scary bit, right?
Yes, thank you.
Move on, ladies and gentlemen. The show is about to start.
What's it?
It's suitable for children. Oh, I'll say it is. Those little devils can see just a thing or two, eh? Fun for all the family. Move along in there.
So, what have we here in this drafty, smelly tent? The beginnings of cinema? Or the old freak show? The Peep Show. That most distasteful of fairground attractions. It is only one of many that offer escape from the toil and tedium of life. Perhaps it's most akin to the rides. One pays to be petrified.
May I get through? Excuse me.
He was such an old snob. And not only the salt of the earth, they're our bread and butter.
Close the doors! Prepare! We are now starting the project tour! Obtained at great expense for your delight and amazement. A tremendous horrifico, comico, press digitato, digito production by Monsieur G. Millet, a correct presentiment of evil. A new bat flies in and circles around. Suddenly, it is transformed into the fiend himself, Mephistopheles in a person! See his evil sneer, ladies and gentlemen. The stylish, conjuring pass he makes to appear, a witch's a cauldron! And out of it, surprise, surprise, a lovely girl emerges! He then makes another magic spell, and presto! A little old man comes up out of the floor carrying a book. Look at the cauldron, ladies and gentlemen, as there! It vanishes into thin air! Then, at various occult signs from great Satan himself, figures appear. So, a skeleton! A witch! Another witch! Ladies and gentlemen, as your very imaginations are blasting,
First vampire film ever made. Monsieur Méliès in the lead part, of course.
A word with you.
Oh, Monsieur Méliès. I didn't know you were in.
You've cut my stump.
Have I?
The end has gone.
How did that happen? I bought 17 and a half metres for the whole thing.
Something innocent with me.
Oh, yes. I remember now. It frayed, that's it.
A man comes on with a cross and Mephistopheles disappears in a cloud of smoke. That's the ending.
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, it made the film, how can I say, that bit too long for my customers. You can understand being what they are. Very simple. They get their money's worth and they like moralising to be left to the front.
I don't like it when people mutilate my work. I'm an artist.
It's all right, all right.
How dare you? How dare you treat my work with such disrespect? Now, have you any idea what goes into making a film? No. You are an ignorant fool. We will not sell to you again.
Oh, Monsieur Méliès, please, forgive me. Let me...
But prudence and forgiveness will be at work. The reprehensible fairground showman, desperate to prove his credentials, will be allowed to purchase two artistic blue movies for the provincial gentleman's circuit.
Why worry? I don't know. I mean, it isn't me showing my bum. It's my bum showing my bum.
Yeah, I understand the distinction, my darling.
My soul is not there. An image does not have a soul.
I deem it not unapt to take Monsieur Méliès for a ride on a time machine, returning him to his formative days in London, home of great illusionists. Sent there by his manufacturer father to learn trade in English, the young man wastes his time at magic shows at the Egyptian Hall, Piccadilly, marvelling at the ingenious cleverness of what he sees. The impact on this high-spirited, talented youth anxious to escape a life of drudgery in business is enormous.
Let execution be done!
Later, at his lodgings, he will write to a friend, a fellow disciple of deception's art.
Tonight, I saw the great Masculine cut off a man's head. There was quivering, blood, eyelids fluttering, women fainted.
Superb! I think I know how he does it.
For 5 years, he works for the family firm, making boots.
Your wild oats have been sown, my son. The time has come for you to be serious. You are a Méliès, a member of a renowned family. We are bootmakers, not brothelizers.
It must be fun, Papa. People can't work all the time. Life gets too grim. We go mad.
Eventually, the paterfamilias gives up, retires, and shares out the business amongst his sons. Our magic man, come machine-minder hero, sells his portion to his brothers, and with the proceeds, buys his dream.
The Robert Houdin Theatre in the Palais Royal, home of French prestidigitation, the greatest house of magic in France, probably the world.
And it's mine!
And my home, I suppose, where Monsieur Méliès can don my mask and sell tickets.
Welcome, my lords, ladies and gentlemen. What a feast of conjuring I've prepared for you. The very best, the most up-to-date ingenuity and innovation at every turn. Sit back and be astonished.
My home. But now, with electrical equipment, ingenious trapdoors, coloured slides, magic lanterns, moving marionettes, you're free, Monsieur Méliès. Free to create your own world.
The finest illusions and tricks are only to be witnessed at the Robert Houdin Theatre, equipped for marvels and miracles. Roll up! Roll up!
Marvels and miracles? Can people see the feeding of the 5,000 here? Zeus ravishing Europa, shaped like a bull?
Before your very eyes, the entire audience will appear on stage and then be transformed into a bed of flowers.
A sheet of glass, some clever lighting.
And in the center of the flower beds will appear a vase, which opens to reveal a woman's head.
Is your magic any more than a scrap of tinsel snatched by a thorn from a passing gypsy's skirt? Why do you love it so?
With my magic lantern, I can take you anywhere you want to go. Into the middle of a Siberian snowstorm. Onto an alpine peak. The burning plains of India.
Now a boat on the river. Everything dreamy and at peace. A summer's day on the Seine.
Here, at my theatre, once you walk through the door, you know what true travelling means. Movement of the inner eye. The imagination assisted by intelligent mechanical means.
The chromatrope, Jan. Would you like to turn the handle?
Certainly, Monsieur Méliès.
Two hand-painted discs turn in opposite directions and produce beautiful vertiginous patterns, drawing the eye deep inside the design. Monsieur Méliès whispers to Jean, who at this point he's only just met, that looking at the chromatrope's cylindrical creations is
a little like falling in love.
So begins his second lifelong passion. He's ready now to make his fortune out of the fantastic. Though he has the strength and funds for a foundation, he has yet to grow what his nature demands. A third eye. A third passion.
Oh, what is being done to me? Why is this such a thrill?
December the 28th, 1895. The first public demonstration of the Lumière cinematograph takes place in the basement of the Grand Café, 14 Boulevard des Capucines.
Lumière, I must congratulate you.
Thank you, Millie.
Remarkable piece of machinery. To be able to look at a moving picture of your workers leaving your factory must give immense satisfaction.
Ah, do I detect your satirical vein?
Not at all, no. I'm genuinely impressed. Overawed, actually. I would never mock something so intelligent, so very, very clever. I didn't know you had it in you.
A lot of people are waiting to talk to me. Was there anything particular you wanted to say?
A train arrives in a station. Your audience was amazed at this familiar sight popping up.
What a novelty.
I'd love to buy the camera.
Ah.
Isn't that why you invited me along?
There are others here, Méliès.
Of course, that's why I'm getting in first. I'd like to make films for my theatre. You know, tricks, illusions. It will be fun.
And magic is what I consider a marginal use, slightly frivolous. In the right hands, a movie camera could be a serious artistic instrument.
Of course, I'm an artist. I'm prepared to offer you 5,000 francs for the machine.
No.
I must have it. 10,000.
Thank you for coming, Georges. Now, I really must circulate.
Monsieur Lumière refuses many other offers, even the 50,000 francs offered by the director of the Folies Bergère, who had ideas of his own on how to use it. But Monsieur Méliès is not to be gainsaid. There is throbbing in his head where an eye needs to be. Within 3 months, he has bought a prototype film projector from an instrument maker in Hatton Garden, London, and with the help of 2 engineers, adapts it into his own movie camera.
Oh, so greedy. They wouldn't sell me a small amount of film stock so I could experiment. Oh, no, no, no. The bastards forced me to part with 45,000 francs for a whole consignment.
Got you by the balls, sole supplier.
That's the kind of business it's becoming already. Dog eat dog. However, can't make films without film. Turn out the lights and we'll unpack. With my gloves. While I was away, did you get any further on the focusing?
Not really. Ah, did they tell you this film isn't perforated?
Hmm? You must be wrong. Let me feel.
Well, it has to be perforated.
I should have asked. Well, too bad. We'll have to do it ourselves.
A machine to punch the holes in the edges of the film was commissioned in double quick time. It only punched two holes in each operation.
This will take weeks. After doing this for 15 minutes, I'm exhausted.
Perforation has, until now, been a light-hearted matter for the amorous magician. Now, it has a grittier dimension. More about driving on, getting what you want. Eventually, everything is ready for the first use of his camera. Monsieur Méliès sets it up in a garden, and in its expectant gaze, a table with people playing cards. He is the actor at the center of the scene.
Wait, wait. We've got no words, remember? We must hold the cards up so they'll know what we're doing.
He radiates excitement, wearing my mask now for a new purpose. The transition is seamless. The aura of the magician is there, vigorous but never inelegant. Smiling but watchful in case anything goes wrong.
Right, put some life into it. You're playing a game of cards, you want to win. He cheats, he fumbles, you want to win the trick. Okay, whoa, isn't this fun? Start cranking the camera. La 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 la, King of Hearts. Yes, beat that. Oh, that's so good, my friend. I win. God, I love the sound of my machine gun going. Music to my ears after all we've had to go through. Play up, play up. That's it. You're doing well. Keep smiling. Hearts are trumps.
Who are these people in a garden, smiling and laughing unheard as they play that most dangerous of games, cards with a magician? Why, it's a twinkling constellation of first film stars. Ten years. Life is good for Monsieur Méliès. The century changes as if by one of his tricks. A new age full of marvels.
So, my darling, I no longer amuse you. Well, I must take this like a man, I suppose. Not let my heart break. Soldier on, but how can I? I'm a disaster. Waiter, a rope, please.
George, stop it. I am trying to make a serious point.
How long have you been bored with me? How long have you been bored with me? Is there anything I can do to regain your interest? Oh, the shame. What a failure. Or is it that I've been too entertaining?
You will not wriggle out of it by putting on a performance. All I said was you might think sometime about telling a story in your films. Mm-hmm. A human story.
Yes, a sentimental film about a lover who's rejected because he has become tedious. A superb idea. Yeah, I'll write it tonight. Waiter, forget the rope. Bring me a pen, ink, and a plate of Emil Zola's brains.
Such is the eminence of Monsieur Méliès. He is asked to be president of the first international convention of film makers. They meet at 51 Rue de Clichy, Paris, to sort out pressing issues. George Eastman requests a private word with Monsieur Méliès.
Sure, sure, yeah. We appreciate your concern about perforation, Mr. President. It needs to be standardized. But what we really have to settle is this business...
Without an agreement on perforation, we will continue to operate in chaos.
But chaos can be cleared up. But we've got bigger fish to fry at this meeting.
There is no bigger fish than perforation.
Could we put Pathé's proposal on renting rather than selling films at the top of our agenda? It really is crucial.
I make films to sell them, Once they're done, I don't want them back. I move on to the next thing.
We're talking about money here, Mr. President. Everyone will do better with a system of hiring movies, you included.
I'm not for hire.
Will you tell me why you're so fixed against the idea?
Yeah, it's not my style. Renting as a concept is alien to me and my way of working.
If we set a rate of 1.25 francs per meter for a four-month rental...
My films are art. They're not lengths of ribbon.
But Monsieur Méliès is already on the way out, believing as he does that he has the power to change things or to stop them changing. The forces at work inside the cinema industry need a different kind of mind to understand them now. A businessman's mind.
I know. You're already a great success, George. Your films sell all over the world, but you have to build on that. If you just keep supplying the market with jokes and tricks, keeping the audience forever at the distance you love so much, well, one day it might be a trick too far.
A trick too far. What a trick!
Oh, I am only thinking of your interests. The Americans know how to make successful films the public can identify with. You don't have to dazzle the poor dears so relentlessly.
I like to dazzle.
All I am passing on to you is what I hear people say.
Thank you.
They want you to carry on making films and not get left behind by the Americans.
You'll see what I'll do with the Americans, the pirates, those plagiarizers. If my work is so out of tune, why do they steal it? If I'm so old hat, why do they copy everything I do?
Good advice seldom comes from lovers. Did she grasp that the master of metamorphosis could never metamorphose himself?
I have my vision of what I want to do. I don't need anyone close to me who is trying to supplant it. There is no more successful filmmaker in all of France. Pape, Gaumont.
Ah, so you've noticed there are other filmmakers. Well, that's something.
Yeah, my heart. I feel the future. It is consistently speaking to me, and I have to laugh. I suppose you are my strength, because you never overpraise. Go on, go on. Let us pray. Genie of the magic lamp, grant me a wish. Give me a new reality to stand on its head.
Your wish is granted. But this new reality has no end. His claim to prophetic vision has some credibility. Not in business terms, but in the emergence of an amazing horror and macabre spectacle that was no illusion.
Humanity through the ages. My film of 1907. Crime and brutality. Giant trusts and companies, imperialist ambitions and expansion. At the Hague Convention of Arms Control, the delegates come to blows. Chaos. Recrimination. Last scene, a battlefield strewn with dead, over which hangs Lucifer, the angel of destruction.
Who plays the angel? Lucifer, the angel of light? By the time the trenches have been dug from the Alps to the Channel, the career of Georges Méliès has been killed off by the competition and financial disasters. The magician's top hat is empty. He puts on shows for the troops in his theater. He makes up in a mirror before the show. We look at each other. What are you going to do, Monsieur Méliès?
I'm going to sing a song.
What kind of song?
One they know, one they can join in with.
When you stand up on the stage of your theater doing a number like any music hall entertainer, what comes into your head?
I try not to think too much in case I forget the words. Until now, words haven't mattered much in my work.
No bitterness?
How could a man who's done what he's set out to do be bitter?
When he no longer has the money to do it. When he's been chased out of the market.
500 films. Each one a work of art. Is that too high a claim to make? You'd rather I was more modest? Very well. A talented trickster.
No. I know what you are. I've been your accomplice, your assistant.
It's no great thing to claim an artistic identity. Commerce laughs at you. Philistines detest you. Parents despair of you.
On in 2 minutes, Mr. Méliès.
What will you sing for these refugees from insanity, from improbability, from political japes, from the trenches? How will you take their minds off the prospect of going back to die in the mud? Why sing a song? Why no illusions? Why no more tricks?
This is the trick, damn you!
I'm still here.
George! What's happened? Are you hurt?
An accident. I should look where I'm going.
What a mess. Stand back. I'll clear it up in case you cut yourself.
He sits and watches her as she carefully picks up the blades of the broken mirror. No further word goes between them. Only the unspoken superstitious fear that this means 7 years bad luck. And as one who has thrived on the margins of superstition, Monsieur Méliès feels he's bound to suffer his full allotment of misfortune.
I'll have to get a brush.
Wherever you look, it's butchers you have to deal with. I tried to fit better into the cinema industry. But I am Georges Méliès. Always myself. Can't change.
Plotting the changes in humor and magic isn't easy. Comedy suddenly shifts round and you're left laughing by yourself.
That wasn't it. Anyway, mustn't get down in my mouth before I go on. I'll have them all in tears. They've got enough grief of their own.
And now, for your delectation, that dizzying, delirious deceiver, that magical gentleman between the boulevards, that eclectic and exquisite entertainer, that unputtable, downable, prince of the poetical and visual, Georges Méliès!
He walks on, cocky, assured, suave. A spring in his step. I lie on his lips, cool and splendid. Is this the angel of destruction? Or a broken man?
Champagne Charlie is my name. Champagne drinking is my game. There's an old drink as good as fizz. I'll drink every drop that is.
After the war, he loses his theater to a street widening scheme and has to pay nearly all the compensation to the people he bought it from. A fatal clause in the contract of sale. He is ruined. The scale of the Great War's catastrophe perhaps prepares him for the loss of everything. Occupation, wife, who passes away, and property. We find him clearing out his studio.
What are you burning, George?
Celluloid burns with a flame as bright as his anger and exasperation.
Don't hang around. Let me take it all away. We'll survive.
Junkmen cart off his creations. Aeroplanes, dirigibles, grottos, infernal and celestial abodes, gigantic structures in wood with cloth and canvas.
We still have my toy store at the Gare Montparnasse, which was left to me. That will give us a living.
What fun.
So, what must have been one of the biggest toy stalls in the world, his prop and scenery store, is exchanged for what must have been one of the smallest. It's cold. It's drafty. He's in his 60s.
Yeah, in a box of rabbits and balls and shepherdesses and these are travellers pouring past, going places.
Yeah, that'll be 50 centimes, sir.
Yeah, whips and tops, novelties, and monkeys on sticks. Reminds me too much of my loss in the... can't stand enough. I must get out.
Calm, darling. We have to stay open from 7 in the morning until 10 at night. Those are the conditions of the concession.
No Sundays. No evenings off. 7 years stuck in a toy stall while his rivals reap the profit of the post-war cinema boom. Mr. Punch. Punished for his jokes and deceptions? One day, a passerby who recognizes him.
Excuse me, sir. Am I correct? You are Georges Méliès, the filmmaker?
I am he.
My dear sir, how strange. Often passed and remarked to myself on the likeness, but I couldn't believe it. What are you doing here?
Oh, earning a living. And your name, sir?
Léon Jour. I run the Ciné Journal magazine. Allow me to shake the hand of a great trailblazer of our film industry. We must do something about this.
After years out in the cold, not complaining, nor cursing his lot, Monsieur Méliès has run the bad luck. Exhausts himself. He accepts his change of fortune with all his old style, wearing his old smile.
December 16th, 1929. Even though I burned my films all those years ago, copies of many were discovered. They give me special gala showing. Theatre packed, audience giddy with delight, crazy gaiety. Directors here tonight are expressing astonishment. I could make films of such perfection 30 years ago with such rudimentary equipment. He invented editing, they cry. New techniques poured from him. Film fantasy he created single-handed. His inventiveness knew no bounds. The word genius is tossed about. I put it down to the champagne and wear the modesty the toy stall taught me.
But it is such fun to have this happen.
Your final and most gorgeous trick, Monsieur Méliès. I congratulate you. You must be over the moon.
They're asking me to write my memoirs.
Oh, well, perhaps I spoke too soon. You might have an even greater trick up your sleeve.
One doesn't have to be too serious.
Can the autobiography of an illusionist be anything but an illusion?
Jean looks happy enough. Running a toy shop never was my forte. Well, not that toy shop.
Darling, darling, can you believe this is happening? I keep pinching myself.
Oh, I knew it would happen. It's only a matter of time. We are in the middle of a genuine miracle, my darling, and I didn't make it up.
Yes, this one is real, thank God.
I had several perfectly usable epitaphs for me tonight. They are so good, I can't wait to be dead. Father of French cinema. Someone being over nice because I was in earshot, perhaps. Alchemist of light.
Oh, I like that.
Trouble is, that one was said by Charlie Chaplin. Can't stand his stuff. Ah, champagne.
Georges and Jean are given an apartment in the Chateau d'Orsay. Other veteran pioneers of the cinema industry will follow them. He'll die just before the beginning of the Second World War. By that time, the plaudits will have fallen into place. His fame will be assured. He and me will be united forever. No trick, no mask, no mirror.
Roll up, roll up. Marvels, dreams, and devils.
In Before Your Very Eyes by David Pownall, Georges Méliès was played by Julian Reintutt, his smile by Henry Goodman. Susanna Dawson was Jeanne, Nigel Lambert, the Fairground Barker, and Alex Lowe, George Eastman. The pianist was Tim Sharp. Other parts were played by members of the cast. It was directed by Graham Frost. Before Your Very Eyes was an ear-to-ear associates production for BBC Radio 4.